This morning, the lesson from the Hebrew Bible is Exodus 2, 23 through 24, and 3, 7 through 15. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Out of the slavery, their cry for help rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered God's covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is this God's name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am, has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. Here ends the reading.
Our gospel reading this morning is from the book of John, chapter 8, verse 58, short and sweet. Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we get another close up on this God that we've been following through the narrative lectionary. The God who created the universe and called it good. The God who promised to uphold both sides of the covenant and then went to extremes to show Abraham that this was a different kind of God-human relationship than he might have been expecting. The God who stood with a far from perfect Jacob and renewed the covenant that would allow Jacob's people to flourish despite his rascally behavior. This same God now hears the cries of that people of the covenant, enslaved now by their oppressors in Egypt. And this God remembers the divine covenant with the people and promises to liberate them from Pharaoh's grasp. And whom does God pick for this monumental task? A stuttering, stammering, unself-confident shepherd named Moses, who has finally found peace away from royal life in Egypt, where he was raised, and who offers God a litany of excuses, so many we didn't even include them all. Moses says, I'm nobody, God, and what will I say when they ask, who put you in charge? What if they don't believe me or listen to me? But God, I'm a stutterer and I get stage fright. I don't speak well in front of people. And finally, he plain old begs God to reconsider. If ever there was a reluctant hero, Moses is it. God does not relent, however, insisting that Moses is the one for the job. And I guess if the creator of the universe and of you thinks you're the right person for the job, they might know what they're talking about. But God also insists multiple times that God will be with Moses as he does the task set before him. Have you ever felt that way, that you were being chosen for a task or a role that you weren't really prepared for, or one that maybe you didn't really want to do, one that even ended up being a pain in some way? As we'll hear next week, for Moses, leading those Israelites was not an easy task. And yet maybe somehow, as with Moses, maybe you felt that God was still there with you in that experience, in that call to something that feels overwhelming. You know, sometimes we say yes to things that aren't a good fit for us because of external expectations, and we regret it later. But other times, circumstances are thrust upon us. There's nothing we can do about the role that we have to step into. Hello, global pandemic. I think all of us probably have felt that to some extent in the last year and a half. Or maybe circumstances aren't thrust on us, but somewhere deep inside, we feel a nudge to head in a new direction or to take on a new role. But the rest of us, the rational part of our mind is screaming, bad idea, back up, abort mission, we cannot do this. Like Moses, we might say, I'm not qualified, or there's got to be somebody better to send, or no one's going to want to follow my lead or listen to my ideas. Or we might think to ourselves, how am I going to explain this to all the people watching me and thinking, whose bright idea was it to send this guy? There's even a name for this internal questioning that we do. It's called imposter syndrome. Maybe you've heard of it. Imposter syndrome is the feeling that you're inadequate for the task at hand, combined with the fear that everyone will see through you, even or especially when you're doing a fine job. God responds to Moses' case of imposter syndrome with reassuring confidence in Moses' abilities and with quite a bit of patience. Right up until the end, we didn't get to this part, but right up until the end, when God gets a bit miffed and tells Moses that his brother Aaron will do the talking, and that's that. Get going, Moses. I guess even God gets exasperated with us sometimes. I know that God gets exasperated with us, because it's just got to be true, the number of times that I've stubbornly insisted that I can't do something that I feel called to, or that I've failed to trust God through the ups and downs and decided to give up or worry my way through instead of trusting God. I can just imagine God shaking God's head with a rueful smile and thinking, when is she going to get it? Life will be so much easier for her when she just lives like I'm trustworthy enough not to leave her hanging. When working to convince Moses that this is a good idea and all will be well in the end, God tells Moses three things. First is, when they ask who sent you, tell them the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. In other words, I am the God who keeps promises, the one who made that covenant many, many generations ago, and who is still honoring it, still claiming you as my people, still working for your liberation and thriving. You tell them that that is who sent you. Second, God says, when they ask you my name, tell them I am. Have you ever thought about what it means that when Moses asks God for a name, God responds with a verb? God has many names, of course, Lord, Creator, Elohim, Adonai, God, Mother, Father, not to mention all the images and metaphors and titles that we have accumulated over the years, like Almighty One or Giver of All Good Gifts or Love. But when asked directly who God is, God doesn't use any of these names or titles, but rather a verb, an action word that means to be, to exist, to come into being, to abide. And this verb, if you do a little digging grammatically, and I'm a bit of a grammar nerd, so if this verb is in the imperfect tense, which in biblical Hebrew is used to describe actions that are not completed, or actions that occur in the present or ongoing into the future. So in other words, God is no inanimate statue or idol, and God is no relic of the past who once did something for our ancestors a long time ago, but has since retired. No, God is alive. God's work and presence is ongoing with no end date in sight. You tell them that that is who sent you. And third, God says to Moses, I will be with you. In other words, God is the living God who covenanted with our faith ancestors and who continues to honor that covenant with us. God did not abandon Abraham and Sarah, or Rebecca and Isaac, or Leah and Rachel and Jacob. So God will certainly not abandon Moses or us, no matter what hard thing we are called to or have to unwillingly face. Okay, now it's your turn. We are on Zoom after all. I want you to think back to a time that you were called on for something that felt over your head, or something that still feels over your head, maybe now. And I want you to take a moment and think about where you can see evidence of God's faithful living presence with you. Where was God telling you, or where is God telling you right now that you can do it, that you can get through despite your misgivings? Where was God providing for you? And maybe you didn't see it at the time, or where is God providing for you right now, providing everything you need to get through? Where was God saying to you, or where is God saying to you right now, I keep my promises. I am alive. I am with you. Take a moment to think about it, and then take a moment to type it in chat or raise your hand. Let's see if I can go back to gallery view here so we can see if there's anyone. Raise your hand to share if you'd like a time that you were in over your head. You felt like Moses. You would rather not have done that, and yet somehow still God was with you in it. Cindy, go ahead.
So it's been a tough road for parenting for the last year. I'm in it. I want to be there, but it's been really hard. And this summer I had a bunch of work that I had to do that took me away from parenting. And I spent a month of my life working on proposals and trying to balance all that and thinking I was going crazy. And we lost all the proposals. And I think that's where I see God, right? Because it was something that took me away too much. And I have time now. And I have plenty of work. I'm not going to starve, you know, but I'm not facing down a $4 million project that would have required my full time for the next 6 months. And it's a weird way to see that, but I was praying for time, and now I have it. Mm.
Thank you for sharing that, Cindy. Mike in the comments here, Mike Rich says, being a dad. I think if you are a parent, you can nod your head along with that experience of, I did want this probably, but I am way in over my head, and finding God in that. Someone else want to share? Betty, go ahead.
I think that the many years I took care of my mom who had Alzheimer's, I needed all the help I could get because she was not an easy woman when she was feeling like that. And she also went blind toward the end of it. Mm. And then again, and it was horrible. And then again with my brother, and just living with the last year, it's been a year that he got sick, and putting myself through that with nothing I could do about it. I did call on and feel God's presence with me, because I don't know how I would have gone through that without his presence.
Thank you for sharing that, Bet. Barbara Wagner says in the chat here, being in a leadership role at Dallin, one of our elementary schools, while undergoing treatment. That's a tall order to get through, right? If you want, Barbara, you can type in where you saw God bringing you through that. But thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? Yeah, Sharon, go ahead. Our last one, so we don't go too long on our sermon. Go ahead.
I thought of all the parental things too, but I was thinking of when I first moved to Massachusetts to become a new department head at a private school, and I had never been a department head. I had never taught ninth grade. I was teaching four classes, and on the way to moving to Massachusetts, our youngest daughter, Abby, who was three at the time, contracted meningitis and was in the hospital. And I had had a baby cousin die of meningitis when I was a kid. And they said, you know, if this is viral, there's very little we can do. But if it's or the opposite, if it's bacterial, we can treat. I can't remember which was which. I think it was if it was viral, she had to get over it by herself. It's bacterial. They couldn't do anything, one or the other. Anyway, I just went and moved. They let me stay at Mount Auburn Hospital with her in a little cot. And I was so befuddled that I couldn't remember my social security number when I went to fill out the forms at the school. But what happened, and it was a year where the whole parts of it are blocked out. Like Cindy, I had to put things in proportion. And it was so important that I be there for Abby, that all the things I had to do as department head that I didn't quite know how to do, and all the things as a teacher just fell into place. And there was this larger presence that somehow got me through.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Sharon. Barbara mentioned in the comments that she saw God in giving her the stamina and strength to focus on the school and its needs, as well as her needs and their family's needs. I should do this more often, because y'all have just brought the Holy Spirit right there. There's the sermon in those stories where we really are over our heads, and yet somehow God shows up and brings us through. So what I want you to hear this morning, if you are going through one of these times right now, because it sounds easy to hear the story of something that happened in the past, and you know now on the other side that it all turned out well, even if it was really hard going through it. But if you're in that place right now, I want you to hear Moses's story and know that it is okay. Indeed, it is welcome to complain to God about it and to say, this is too much. I don't think I'm the right person. I don't have what it takes to get through this. I can't do this without you. And I want you to hear God's response back to Moses, which is that this is the God who keeps promises. This is the God who is living and real and powerfully present. And this is the God who is with you. Amen. Go now with God's words to Moses ringing in your ears. I am the God of your ancestors. I was with them. I was powerfully present to them, and I will keep that promise, and I am powerfully present with you too. Go in peace.